As we prepare to hear a lesson from God's word, let's pray our prayer for illumination. God, source of all light, by your word, give light to our lives. Amen. Our scripture lesson this morning comes to us from Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 3, verse 26 through chapter 4, verse 7. And as we read this together, listen for what the Word of God is saying to you in your lives, in your situation today, whatever it may be. Hear now the Word of the Lord. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What I am saying is that as long as the heir is a child, he is no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. He is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also, when we were children, we were in slavery under the basic principles of the world. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our children's sermon today, once again, sent in by the S. Heiss family. So kids, gather around.
Hi there. It's good to see you again. I hope you had a good week and that you had a wonderful 4th of July holiday celebration. So 2 weeks ago, we talked about God as Father. And last week, we talked about God as Mother. So two ways of thinking about God, God as Father and then God as Mother. So today we're going to continue that, a third way of looking at God, God as Redeemer. Now, God as Father or Mother, that kind of makes sense to me. I know about Father, Mother. But God as Redeemer, that sounds hard. I wonder what that is about. What does this show us about God?
Well, redeemer and redemption are important words in the church. And as you grow up, you will learn more and more about it, and you will hear those words a lot. You will learn what it means to be a redeemed person, and you will learn how you can redeem. But the words are difficult to explain.
So maybe there's a story that will explain it a little more.
Yeah. When I think about redemption, I think about a story that Jesus told the people around him. It's a story I think you guys know. Once there was a father, and he had two sons. And one day, one of the sons wanted to leave the house and live by himself. He asked his dad for a lot of money. His dad was sad about him leaving, but the son wanted to go anyway. So his dad gave him the money. The son went off and lived in a faraway place. He spent all the money on parties and buying cool stuff. But one day he ran out of money.
Sure.
So he had to find a job. The job he found was terrible. He had to feed pigs. The job made him very dirty and very hungry. And even worse, it didn't even pay enough so that he could buy food.
That's terrible.
So basically, every day his life got worse. And one day he said to himself, this is not working. I'm hungry, I'm dirty, and I cannot pay for food or a clean place to live. I have to go back home.
But wouldn't his dad be mad at him?
That's what he thought too. But he said to himself, even if I'm a servant in my dad's house, it will still be better than my life now. I just have to ask my dad to forgive me. And maybe he will take me back as a servant.
And does that have anything to do with redeeming?
I think so. Because the son realizes that his old life is not good for him. He realizes he made a mistake by going away, and he decides to go back to his dad and ask for forgiveness so he can start a new life.
So redemption is like a fresh start?
Yeah, that's part of it. But there's more. So the son goes back. He's very worried about how his dad will feel about him. When he's almost home, he can see his dad outside. He runs to him and says, Dad, Dad, I've done so much wrong. I've wasted all the money you gave me. I'm dirty, I'm poor, and I can't even earn enough money to take care of myself. Will you please forgive me? And can I please be a servant in your house? And the dad says, Son, of course I forgive you. I've been waiting for you to come back since the day you left. You will not be a servant in my house. You are, and you will always be my son. Welcome back to the family.
Ah, I see. The dad is not asking for his money back. He's just happy that his son is back and that they're together again. The dad lost his son, and now he found him again. I don't think the son expected this kind of welcome. What a surprise, and what a gift. I think that I now understand better what redemption means. Redemption is a fresh start.
Let's pray together. Dear God, thank you for redeeming us and the world. We are glad to be a part of your new beginning, and we pray that we may be your helpers in bringing your love to others. We ask that you bless us and our families. Amen. Have a good week.
Have a good week.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Hank and Petra, for sending that in. It was good seeing the two of you at our 9 a.m. service, too, and glad you could participate here at 10:30. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So yesterday, Independence Day. Normally we'd have fireworks, and well, we still had fireworks. I don't know about you, but in our neighborhood, the fireworks were plentiful, even as the kids were trying to go to bed. Yesterday, in the morning, because we knew that so many of the parades had been canceled, the church sponsored a bicycle parade for neighborhood kids. And it was great. We had about 20 kids from the neighborhood, some from the church, come out to ride their bikes and their tricycles, their big wheels. One person had an electric scooter to drive around and celebrate the 4th of July. Independence Day. Independence Day, seemingly a holiday that we can all get around. One of the few things, I think, that we can all get around, as someone mentioned at our early service today, a prayer for our country, which is so terribly divided and at odds with each other. And because of the coronavirus pandemic, we aren't really able to gather together in places in solidarity in the same way. I mean, normally, under normal circumstances, Republicans and Democrats and socialists and libertarians and all the rest, cats and dogs, everyone, would be able to gather together on the same street and watch a fireworks display. But instead, we retreat to social media, which is not good for us, as I've said before. It has a way of dividing us even further by splitting us up into camps, classifying us according to our likes, our dislikes, our interests. Some of us are Cowboys fans and some of us are Giants fans. Some of us are right and some of us are wrong. I'm not even going to pick on the Jets today, Wayne. You can be happy about that. But we have a way, don't we, of dividing ourselves according to so many different human factors. Paul writes about some of those human factors in his letter to the Galatians, writing to a church, the early church, in which primacy is often given to those who are followers of Judaism over and against those who are Gentile Christians. There was this big controversy in the early church in those days immediately following Jesus' ascension into heaven, leaving behind his apostles to work out what does it mean to be followers of Christ in the world today. What do we do with all of these different cultural ideas that we have going on? How do we wrestle with what it means to be Jews or Gentiles? What does it mean if we're Christians and yet some are slaves and some are free? What does it mean to be Christians when some are male and some are female? What does it mean to be Christians when some are Roman citizens and some are not? These are all questions that are floating around out there in the early church, trying to figure out how best to understand what it means to be a Christian, especially in a society and culture that does not look very lovingly at Christians. Doesn't look very lovingly at Jews either. And so this is the situation that Paul is writing into. And seemingly, because of what Paul is writing, the church had given privilege to some, perhaps to men, perhaps to those who had economic advantages, perhaps to those who were Jews. We do this sometimes in churches, sometimes intentionally and sometimes unintentionally, right? We divide ourselves up into the haves and the have-nots. I mentioned at the earlier service that there are certain churches within the Reformed Church in America where the leadership gifts of women are not recognized in public ways. Reformed Church pulpits that have never had a woman preach a sermon. Consistory tables that women have never been invited to. There are churches where, because of the neighborhoods that they are located in, there is a socioeconomic difference between the members of the church and those who might be visitors. There are churches all over the U.S. that are located in economically depressed areas where rich people drive their big rich cars into the church to have their worship service and then drive out again. And Martin Luther King Jr. mentioned more than once and echoes for us today that Sunday morning is the most segregated time in all of our calendars in the U.S. because we have black churches and white churches, Korean churches, Chinese churches. There are these prejudices that we have, and I'm sorry to say I fall into it also. And the churches that I've served have fallen into this. We think automatically that if someone shows up that doesn't look like us, then they must be in the wrong place. And we do it innocently enough, but it shows what our deeper prejudices are. I had this happen myself, to me. It was me doing it. Someone showed up at my house, someone who is clearly an Asian person, and asked about the church. And I said, although I couldn't believe the words were coming out of my mouth, but it was so quick, like, oh, we have, you know, the Chinese church that meets in our church, thinking that that is obviously what they meant. It happens to me too. We automatically assume that people will seek out churches that look like them, and it's to our detriment. I've said this to the folks at our Bible study before, that we don't get a full picture of God's Word unless we hear voices that are different from our own, unless we read from the margins. It's a lesson I picked up at New Brunswick Seminary, Bob. So that's the situation that Paul is writing into. And he writes to the church, "You are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." So stop separating people already. Stop giving privilege to one gender over another, one cultural identity over another, one economic group over another. Are we not all baptized and clothed in Christ in the same way, Paul says? One of the things I miss most of all, not being together in person, is that we haven't gathered around the table of the Lord. We haven't broken bread. We haven't shared the cup. I hope we'll be able to do that sometime soon, because the table is a reminder to us that we are all welcome. All of us. Whoever we are, whatever we are, and wherever we've come from, there is a seat for us at the table of our Lord, because Christ is the host of the party. Jesus gets to decide who's invited. It's not up to us. We don't. And that's where we come into this idea of God as Redeemer. I asked the folks at 9 a.m. if anyone could give me the definition of redeem, because this is language that I've used before a lot, talking about Jesus as Redeemer without ever really thinking about what it means to redeem something. We do that a lot. We use words and phrases and churchy, theological-sounding things without really diving deep into what they mean. And I like how Petra and Hank used the idea of the parable of the prodigal son to talk about redemption. There's a story from the Old Testament that I think of. There's a woman who has sons, and they, because there's a famine in their land, they travel to a distant land. Their sons marry foreign women. The woman's husband dies. Her sons die, and she decides that she is going to move back home. She tells her daughters-in-law to go and go back to their own families, one of whom does, the other one says, "Where I go, where you go, I'll go. Where you dwell, I'll dwell. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God." Of course, this is the story of Ruth. And it's a redemption story, because Ruth goes into a field and picks grain, and the owner of the field, his name is Boaz. And Boaz, Ruth discovers, is known as a kinsman redeemer to Naomi's family, which means that he is one of the first in line to redeem the family should anything happen to Naomi's husband and her sons. And what that means is that Boaz has first claim, well, second claim, you're right, Bob. There's another who has the first claim, but he takes off his sandal and hands it to Boaz, which is a, you know, one of those utterly colloquial parts of the Bible stories that are strange to us. But Boaz redeems Ruth and Naomi. And what does that mean? It means he claims them as his own. And in claiming them as his own, they then have rights to all that he has, and he has rights to all they have. They, in essence, become a family. They are adopted as his wife and mother-in-law. This is the language that Paul uses in talking about our relationship to God. Paul says, we are all as children to God without any claim to anything. It's as if we are slaves, Paul says, and he's referring to this ancient economic arrangement in which children that will have a claim to their family property and wealth don't, as long as they are minor children. Paul says that in God's eyes, that's all of us. Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female, all of us are on equal ground in God's eyes. None of us has a leg up on another. We are all regarded as slaves, nobodies. But God sent his Son to redeem us. Jesus as our kinsman redeemer, that we might be adopted as children of God, gaining the inheritance of God's kingdom. Because you are children, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a child. And since you are a child, God has made you also an heir. We've talked a lot in this pandemic season about the Belhar Confession. This is language that the Belhar Confession picks up on, saying that because Jesus has redeemed us and made us all children of God, therefore, in the church, there is no room for ranking of people based on any human condition. we cannot take into account any longer our maleness, our femaleness, our gender identities, our economic identities, our racial, ethnic identities. They all give flavor to who we are as people, but we are primarily not all of those things, but instead, number one, children of God. Which brings us back to our celebration of Independence Day, interestingly enough. We have freedom, not from oppression to the British government. I don't know, does the Queen still send us a card on July 4th? I don't remember. But the freedom that we have in Christ is of more importance. Our citizenship in the kingdom of God has primary importance to who we are, more so than what it says on our passport or our driver's license or our birth certificate. That's what it means for God to have redeemed us. That all of that stuff that seeks to divide us as a people, even Christians within a church, God looks at that and says, why do you keep dividing yourselves up like that? Why do you keep keeping score? You're all the same. In my eyes, you're all children, heirs. You've been bought back by the kinsman redeemer who is Jesus Christ, who is our brother, whose life, death, and resurrection means that we are adopted into the family of God with all of the privileges and all the responsibilities that that entails. So thanks be to God, my friends, that because of who Jesus is, we receive a new identity in Christ. That it's no longer important that I am all of these things, Cowboys fan first and foremost. But what's most important is that I'm a child of God. And so are you, and so are your neighbors, and so are the ones that you count as friends, and so are the ones we count as enemies. Maybe it's time that we, as the children of God, started seeking unity with one another. Let's think about that, Independence Day weekend. Let's proclaim our freedom from what divides us. Our freedom in Christ that unites us as one people, children of God. Let's pray together. Almighty God, we thank you for redeeming us, buying us back from sin, from evil, from that that seeks to destroy us. For adopting us as your own sons and daughters, as those with blessings and responsibilities, blessed to be a blessing to others. May our presence in this world proclaim the fact that you are our God, who has adopted us as your children, and that we are heirs to this kingdom that you are bringing about, that we see and experience and yet has not been fulfilled in its fullness. Be with us, Lord. Love us. Continue to free us from sin and division. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our affirmation of faith today comes to us from the Heidelberg Catechism, from question and answer number 32 and 34. What do we believe? I am called Christian because by faith I am a member of Christ, and so I share in his anointing. I am anointed to confess his name, to present myself to him as a living sacrifice of thanks, to strive with a good conscience against sin and the devil in this life, and afterward to reign with Christ over all creation for all eternity. We call him our Lord because, not with gold or silver, but with his precious blood, he has set us free from sin and from the tyranny of the devil, and has bought us, body and soul, to be his very own.